supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
But mostly it's a phone call show. Up to then, cats and kittens, and you know what that means. We're taking that heaping helping of your questions, comments, tips, tricks, etc. at 1-888-346-9499. Howard, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi.
Hello, Howard. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I love your show.
Well, thank you, sir. Where are you?
I'm in Newtown, Pennsylvania.
Okay, very good. That's in Bucks County, right?
Correct.
All
about
right.
30 miles north of Philadelphia.
What can we do for Howard in the suburbs?
All right. Well, I'm a professional chef, and I use fresh herbs all year round, and even when I cook at home for my wife and kids. And instead of paying the price for them, which they can be quite expensive at times, I'd like to start growing my own. So I wanted to know if I can grow them all year round. What, if any, you know, do well in our colder climate, or would it be best to grow them indoors?
Well, have you done any gardening outdoors? Do you have a backyard vegetable garden or anything like that?
I do. I have a small one.
And so you've been growing herbs in your small garden?
No, I haven't been growing herbs. Just some tomatoes and some squash, some green beans.
Okay. Do you have raised beds? You're growing in flat ground?
Flat ground.
Okay. I want you to move up, and this fall I want you to build at least one raised bed.
Okay.
Frame it out to be 4 foot wide by as long as you can fit. If it's a tight space, 4 feet. If it's a bigger space, make it 8 feet long, because that's going to help you understand the tactics you'll be using when you do move indoors. Now, I want you to keep some small flat ground area, because where you are, there is a moderate chance that you could grow rosemary and it would survive winter outdoors.
Just rosemary?
Well, rosemary is the dicey herb. There's no guarantee it would die or live over winter. It depends on your microclimate, your protected area, or your unprotected area. But I would at least give it a chance and experiment with some rosemary outside. I'll tell you, sage will survive all winter long. But the difference here is that the sage will kind of die back to the ground and return the following year, like a lot of your perennial herbs. Rosemary stays viable and cuttable and usable outdoors. Even if your rosemary did die, quote, over winter, we're talking January or February, so you would get a lot of cutting off that up to then. And obviously, you would want to grow your herbs outdoors as much as you could. Now, what do we have indoors that replicates a greenhouse or a solarium or a bay window where you have really extravagant amount of natural light?
Well, actually, that was going to be part two of my question, because in my kitchen, I do not have a window or a windowsill to continue growing those herbs. That's why I wanted to know what I can do all year round outside.
Only rosemary, and it might not make it through the winter. Marjoram. I don't know if you know the difference between oregano and marjoram.
Sure do.
Well, the difference to a gardener is oregano will not live through the winter and marjoram always will. So 99% of the, quote, oregano people are growing
that's marjoram.
Is exactly right. So,
speaking of oregano, is there a difference between regular oregano and Mexican oregano?
There is a huge family that encompasses the plants known as marjoram and oregano and all sorts of varieties, and they crossbreed very easily. The bottom line here is, if you want to grow outdoors over winter, you need to erect a greenhouse, put a solarium on the side of your house, invest in very sophisticated cold frames, something like that. But I will tell you, if you don't already have one of these big bay windows or a solarium attached to your house, it's probably not cost effective, and it would probably be better for you to contract with somebody who has a heated greenhouse. Because if you have a heated greenhouse, or even a greenhouse that is attached to your house and you know, gets that heat support by being attached to your house as opposed to freestanding, you can grow virtually anything in that all winter long. Greenhouses can be purchased very inexpensively these days. Again, the more they're attached to a house, the less money you have to spend to keep them warm. But otherwise, you're really fighting a losing battle. All right, Howard?
I appreciate your help. Thank you very much.
All right.
That's why I will continue to listen to your show. Love it.
If you get a greenhouse, man, you'll never go back.
Super. Thanks for your advice. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye.
1-888-346-9499. Abby, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good, Ab. How are you?
Good, good.
And where is Abby good?
Frankfort, Michigan.
Oh, is it chilly up there yet?
It's getting there. It's not as bad as it could be.
Yeah, well, that's what everybody says out there. Oh, yeah, it's minus 30, but it's not bad. It's a dry cold, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah. All right, what can we do for you, Ab?
Well, I have this Mystery X fig tree, and I don't even remember where I got it, but I had it in a pot in the house, and it would make leaves, and then they would fall off, and make beautiful leaves, and then fall off. And so I thought, okay, this year I'm putting it outside. So I put it outside, and it grew almost like a bush, like it spread out instead of going straight up like a tree. And it's gorgeous. It made probably 30 new leaves, and it's doing so good. And now it's going to be cold, and do I have to bring it in? And if I bring it in, how do I make sure it doesn't do that again?
Okay, we can do this. Now, the fig family, the ficus family, includes many, many members, including the edible figs, plants, and a lot of house plants, including the one we call ficus, the most common office plant. But you have no idea what you have.
Well, I looked online and it looked like the Mystery X. I mean, that was a kind of fig tree.
Really?
And yeah.
I've never heard that term before. X is usually a sign of a hybrid plant that's been crossed with a very different plant.
Well, it did show a fruit on it.
Oh, okay. So this is a bearing tree.
Yeah, I'm going to guess, yes.
So it really never belonged indoors, but you're in Michigan. Where did you get this thing?
You know, I don't know. I don't remember.
I mean, did you buy it online? Did you find it abandoned behind a warehouse?
It could have been online. I think it was online, but it was a couple years ago.
And it struggles indoors, and it loves being outside.
Yeah. Yeah,
and every indication is that this is edible. You know,
every indication, yeah, according to what I read on the internet, but I couldn't find anything about taking care of it.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you what an old Italian would do, which in your case is what I think we should do.
All right.
It's still in the pot, right?
No, it's out in the ground.
It's in the ground. Okay. Is it in an exposed area? Is the area it's in kind of protected at all?
No, and it gets really windy there.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do soon. And you got to trust me here.
All right.
We're going to soak the base of the plant with water until we can rock the plant back and forth.
Okay.
Okay? Then we're going to rock the plant back and forth until we can actually push it down towards the ground, in which we will have dug a shallow grave.
Okay.
You with me?
Yeah, I think.
You'll dig a hole about a foot deep, big enough to accommodate the tree all around. You will rock it so that the roots aren't broken apart, so that the root ball stays whole.
Okay.
And you will lay the tree down in the trench.
So sideways?
Sideways.
Okay.
And then you will cover it all with soil. Make sure you cover the root ball. You may need to actually dig a slightly deeper hole down at that end to make sure you get most of the root ball under the frost line.
Okay.
Okay? And then what you cover it with is a matter of choice. We're going to shovel some dirt over it. We're going to shred up a ton of leaves and throw those on top of it. Some people would put old carpeting over it. The idea is we literally are going to bury this tree alive.
Okay.
And then you're just going to have to live with yourself all winter long.
Okay.
And in the spring, when the rest of your plants start growing again, you're going to get a friend. You're going to go remove all of the covering. You're going to lift the body out of the grave and stand it straight up again and replant it. And if you have done this successfully, in other words, if you haven't been a coward, if you actually did what I said, dug a trench, covered it all completely, protected it from direct exposure to the cold, the wind, and the snow, and then you stand it back up and plant it, by the time you dig it up, it would not be unusual to see new growth on the plant already.
Okay.
And if you go online and look up burying your fig tree, you'll see all kinds of stories like this.
Okay. Well, great. I appreciate this.
All right.
All righty. I'll see you.
Be brave, Abby.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good morning. I'm Mary Cummings Jordan here at Pledge Central along with host Mike McGrath. And Mike, we haven't even gotten started here, and already you've got three calls towards your goal. Three pledges.
At 1-888-345-9499, where we want everybody to call in. I'm here with Mary Cummings Jordan, who anchors my show during Saturday mornings here, gives us the news, the traffic, and I know she is a budding gardener. And I will ask you listeners the same thing as I'm about to ask Mary. What other gardening show do you hear the expressions shallow grave and bury the tree alive? I mean, we're about the honesty, the reality of gardening.
And a little bit of humor.
No, there's no humor involved. That's just basic common sense. You know, shallow graves are part of gardening. You have to be there for it. 1-888-345-9499 or WHYY.org. Mary, we have less than 4 minutes to raise some money for my show here to get that show of support so they don't change the locks on the studio doors like they did when we had a bad pledge drive once.
Well, and it's important, Mike, though, because we have your show has a mission. Your show is one of the few that I know of that stress organic gardening. Why organic gardening?
When I was asked that on the Today Show years ago, I looked at the host and went, we just have this crazy idea. You shouldn't spray poison on your food before you eat it. I don't know. I guess we're nuts, you know.
Well, that is what your entire show is built around. And if you listen Saturday mornings at 11 here on WHYY, you're going to hear information that you're not going to hear in most other gardening forums. And it's information that protects the environment and also, in all likelihood, and some studies will show, protects your health as well if you garden without, as you say, poison. So anyway, You Bet Your Garden is programming unique to WHYY. But as with all other programming here, it is public radio. We rely on listener support. So let's keep the ball rolling. We've had a tremendous morning here at WHYY. 888-345-9499. WHYY.org if you're sitting at the computer. Our goal is 50. We're going to try to jump over that. And right now we're at 8. So this is the moment, Mike.
Mary, you know, one of the reasons you were saying, you know, this is the only place you hear organic advice is on commercial radio, commercial television. The sponsors are chemical companies. And right now we're talking to my sponsors. We're talking to the people who pay to keep organic gardening and You Bet Your Garden on the air. And we need their pledges of support. We just one more minute before we go back to the show. We do have some thank you gifts. We have the wonderful and famous You Bet Your Garden flower pot mug. We have my tomato growing book. You have a choice of either of those for a pledge of $60 or for a generous pledge pledge of $120, something we'll talk about a lot more when we come back, is my kitchen garden box, how to grow your favorite edibles and save the seeds and everything else. But the most important thing, Mayor, is that they make that call. What is that number?
888-345-9499 or WHYY.org. And, Mike, we will talk more about that garden box, but my first thought when I saw it was, hey, that's a great Christmas gift. 888-345-9499, WHYY.org. We appreciate our listeners, and we know you appreciate our programming here at WHYY, and thank you.
Germantown Academy in Fort Washington supports WHYY with over 250 years of history and innovation. GA provides a foundation for students to become independent, confident, creative, compassionate, and honorable. Offering a pre-K through 12th grade co-ed curriculum, GA proudly introduces their new middle and upper school buildings, nature preserve, and athletic fields. An open house will take place on Wednesday, October 20th at 8:30 a.m. Details at germantownacademy.net.
Welcome back to You Bet Your Garden. I'm your host, Mike McGrath. Coming up later in the show, lovely lilacs. At least they're lovely when you don't get that white moldy stuff on their trunks and their branches and sometimes their leaves. And they're lovely when there aren't bee-like creatures stripping away the bark to do Lord knows what. We'll tell you what they're doing with that bark, how to prevent their doing it, and how to keep those lilacs healthy and happy when we get to the question of the week. In the meantime, though, lots more of your fabulous phone calls at 1-888-346-9499. Hannah, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hello.
Hello, Hannah. How are you?
I am just fine.
And where is Hannah fine?
I am fine in Philadelphia and Wilmington.
Oh, so you got long legs.
I do.
you can straddle that. Mm-hmm. So you live in one and work in the other or something?
I live in Philadelphia, but my garden is in Wilmington.
Boy, that's a commute.
I tell you.
Okay.
It's at a friend's house, and she has sun, and I don't. What can I tell you?
Oh, smart move, actually. Smart move. And I'm sure you enjoy visiting the human as well as the plants.
And the dog, yeah.
Okay. Oh, and the dog, of course. Mm-hmm. I hope the friend didn't get third place in this contest. What can we do for you?
Okay. At this garden, there's in her yard, there's a large stand of running bamboo. It is just on the other side of her property line. And there's a little space, and I've created a lovely compost pile there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second year that I've had the compost there. And then we have the vegetable garden out where the sun is. Well, she's recently gotten a new neighbor who really wants to get rid of this bamboo, as does my friend. And she's been knocking the things down for the last couple of years, but her friend has decided that they need to cut it down and then poison it. So they've cut down all the big stalks of bamboo all around the compost pile, and they're ready to pour chemical onto it. And my compost pile is sitting right in the middle.
Well, Hannah, I understand you're worried about your compost being tainted.
I'm worried about the poison, too.
Yes, there's bigger issues here. I mean, if they're going to use one of the commercial chemical herbicides, these things are human hormonal disruptors. They kill wildlife at an impossible rate. They destroy groundwater. And they're not very effective against running bamboo, which is perhaps the most tenacious aggressively growing plant out there. Mm-hmm. So if there has been repeated cutting of the culms over years and if people have really kept at it and been diligent, the culms should be getting much thinner and much weaker. Do you see any sign of that?
Yes. Yes. They are definitely, there are fewer of them in her yard and they're not as vigorous, but she wants rid of them now.
Well, here's what you... Well, I mean, some of this is going to have to be negotiation, you realize, because I'm going to suggest anyway that just for safety's sake, in case this person, you know, pops a clutch and does something crazy without warning people, that you move the compost and first clean out your garden, because it's that time of year anyway. And then just cover your garden with what you have. You know, shred up some fall leaves and put a layer of leaves over top of the compost. That's actually going to be very good for the garden, to cover the bare ground, get the compost down, let it interact with the soil life, and then cover it with shredded leaves for protection against nutrient loss. That would be a good plan, even if we didn't have this problem.
Okay.
And then, you know, once the compost is out of the way, then talk to the person about the benefits of repeated cutting, which is what the American Bamboo Society recommends for people who planted running bamboo and then figured out what they're doing. Otherwise, consider renting a backhoe and having the area torn up and everybody share the cost and get all those culms out of the ground. Then the area can be replanted. If they don't go for that, you supply the 20% vinegar, which you can find in various online sources. Horticultural vinegar, 20% acidity. It lowers the pH of the soil to like 2. It's the surface of the moon. It's the most potent herbicide you can use. It's much more potent than any chemical herbicide you can buy. And make sure you get grain vinegar, not the stuff that's 20% acetic acid that's sold as a photographic chemical.
Okay.
You can get 20% acidity vinegar that's made from grain, and then it will destroy the roots of the bamboo. Make sure the soil is dry, and it hasn't rained in a few days, and it's not going to rain for a few more days. And do this. Nothing is going to affect the bamboo, by the way, after it goes dormant for the winter. No chemical or vinegar. So this has to be done before the soil freezes or wait till the spring, because anything you do while the plant is dormant will not affect the plant, because the plant won't be absorbing chemicals or really even be affected by the vinegar, because it'll have shut down all its cellular production.
Okay, so that's true whether we use chemicals or vinegar.
Exactly. Anything would be a waste after, you know, after it gets really cold for the season. So your clock is clearly ticking here. And anybody will, any horticultural specialist, any extension agent will back that up. So that may slow them down. A lot of people, believe it or not, go for the backhoe solution. It is not that expensive to rent a small backhoe or have a backhoe operator come out for an afternoon, dig all this stuff up, and then you're done. It's over and done with. And the expense is often similar or less than repeated herbicide applications.
Okay. Now, this whole stand of bamboo is probably a quarter of an acre. So if we just work along the edge of it,
What you would do, you can contain it. If you can mark the outskirts of the culms, you can either dig a foot-deep trench and fill that with water, and the bamboo can't cross that, or you can have somebody come out with a ditch witch and dig a deep trench, and they can install what's called rhizome barrier, which is what professionals use who want to plant bamboo in a landscape, but know about it and know that it needs to be restrained. If you search the words American bamboo online, you'll go to the American Bamboo Society, and they have done all the research. They've collected all the research. They know how this stuff can be planted safely and can be contained safely. But herbicides, chemical herbicides in this case, would be really dangerous to the health of humans, the environment. And I don't think the odds are good that it would kill the bamboo.
Great.
All right, good luck. Fight the good fight.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-888-346-9499. Jeff, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Mike, hey, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How are you?
Great. I'm here in Center City, Philadelphia.
Yeah?
I've been growing tomatoes out on my back porch here. And this year, for some reason, I got really poor yields. I got a ton of blossoms, but it would seem, I don't know if something was eating them, but it more looked like they were just falling off. They weren't turning into tomatoes. And I just, you know, I just don't have any idea what's causing it.
I'm going to guess that your porch broils in the sun.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's you didn't do anything wrong, man. When it gets to be 90 degrees or above, tomato pollen fries, and the flowers are incapable of producing fruits. So I would think that what happened is it was just too darn hot. Anytime the temperature gets so hot that it fries the pollen on your tomato flowers, you're done for like a week or 10 days. Those flowers can't produce any fruits. Now, the next run can, but as you know, this past summer, the next run probably, the odds were, it got hit by another blazing 90-degree day, which in an outdoor garden that got some shade, maybe half those runs would have survived. But if you're really full sun and baking, your tomatoes didn't have a chance this year. It was just too darn hot for them. So if that were to happen again, all you have to do is rig up some shade cloth or an umbrella and try and shade the plants after like one or two in the afternoon or whenever you can. Mist them, get one of those things that they do, you know, they have in Australia to keep you from burning to death in their summers. Anything you can do to cool the air around them. But it actually sounds like you're plants have the opposite problem of most city plants in that yours just got too much sun.
Yeah, they're actually in a great location. They get sun all day long, and so, yep, that's got to be it. I was wondering, you know, it was just, hey, you know, great blossoms and then, you know, getting nothing for fruit, so makes a lot of sense.
See, that's the key. If you had told me you hadn't gotten flowers, I would have said you were overfeeding them with nitrogen fertilizer or they weren't getting enough sun. But if you get flowers and the flowers don't produce fruit in your kind of location you've described in last year's summer, easy answer. The pollen just burned up time after time after time. And so if you know that, anything you can do to moderate that heat, if we get another summer like that, you'll get more tomatoes.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, okay, next year I'll throw a little shade out there.
That's all I think they would need, and then you'd get a lot more.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
All right, Jeff.
Yep, we'll see you now.
I'm Mary Cummings Jordan, along with the host of You Bet Your Garden, Mike McGrath. And Mike, we're here at Pledge Central this morning, and I'm going to give the telephone number out right away, 888-345-9499. As we move toward our mini goal of 50 pledges this hour, we're at 15 right now, so we're definitely moving in the right direction. But back to your mission. We're talking about
organic. You mean nobody has called up and asked for a refund yet?
Not yet.
The only way to go in the wrong direction. Come on, let's get these wonderful volunteers who've come in and donated their time. Yay, volunteers. Let's give them some work at 1-888-345-9499. Don't forget, if you call up and make your pledge right now with a credit card and ask for it, you can get a free year subscription to Newsweek. But more importantly, you can support my show. You can support Organic Gardening. You can support WHYY as your local public radio station. And you can support the entire enterprise of public radio in general. That's a lot for your pledge to do. And you don't need me to tell you that you need public radio these days more than you ever have. And of course, we have some wonderful thank you gifts, and Mary Cummings Jordan is really interested in the $120 pledge kitchen garden box. Why don't you try to describe this wonderful thank you gift, Mayor?
Well, there's a lot to describe, Mike. Actually, you said if you do pledge at the $120 level, there's a gift which, the minute I saw this, I was thinking, okay, the holidays are coming up. You've got Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa. Whatever your holiday might be, it's a terrific gift for somebody who you know has a bent for gardening. Mike, you mentioned earlier I'm a budding gardener. Well, I'm still a bud. I have not blossomed yet. I try tomatoes every year, and this year all I got were green tomatoes.
I noticed you pulled up the cards in the box that were about tomatoes.
I found one for fried green tomatoes. I haven't seen anything. I mean, I'm sure you could go online, but here it is. It's a really neat recipe card for what you can do with all those tomatoes.
Don't you know in the movie they were the McGrath sisters?
You know what? I didn't pick up on that, Mike. But
1-888-345-9499. Give these volunteers some work or go online at whyy.org. You know, Mayor, if they go online, they can see images of the kitchen garden box and our other thank you gifts. But as we said, it's a book in a box. It's an actual recipe box, and it's filled with 55 cards that are kind of right recipe cards with dividers, and they tell you how to grow different vegetables, edibles, and then how to save the seeds. And look what's in the back of the box, Mayor. Aren't these cool?
Beautifully decorated seed packets, zucchini, peppers, watermelon. They're illustrated, and as I said, they make either for your own kitchen or a lovely gift. And what
well,
you do...
Well, they're your seed-saving envelopes. They're your seed packets.
My seed
You
packets.
Will follow my instructions, grow the plants, save the seeds, and you have these beautiful illustrated envelopes then to show off. And it's all yours for a generous pledge of $120, which will show support for my show, HYY, NPR, and all that's good and decent in the American way of life. If you call 1-888-345-9499 or WHYY.org.
And as you know, Mike, we come to you, our listeners, through these on-air campaigns, three times a year to ask for your support. If you're not a member, consider becoming a new member and supporting You Bet Your Garden and also the news and the programs that you value. Or maybe it's time to renew your membership or come back into the membership fold after a break. You set the level. It's your decision as to how much you feel comfortable pledging. But I will let you know, too, that we were talking about the kitchen garden box. If you decide to pledge at the $60 level,
you have a choice.
You do have a choice. There's the flower pot mug. It's awfully cute. I haven't seen anything like it.
It's a coffee mug that looks like a terracotta flower pot, but it does not have a hole drilled in the bottom, which would be rude for people who put their coffee or tea.
It would be an eye-opener.
Yeah. Or my book, You Bet Your Tomatoes, for a generous pledge of $60. And those are really good deals. They make great gifts as well. But the important thing is that we get your phone call. We love our listeners. We get so many emails from people, I love to listen to your show. I do appearances and people say, I love to listen. And that's nice, but we value our members. Those are the people who help produce the show. Those are the people who help pay for the show. Those are the people who help keep the lights on here at WHYY. And if you're a listener, I want you to become a member by calling 888-345-9499 or let your fingers do the walking at WHYY.org. You know, that stands for organic, Mayor.
I didn't know that, but thank you for informing me. We're almost halfway there to our mini goal of 50. We're at 21 right now, so let's keep chugging along. 888-345-9499. We need the support of you, our listeners. WHYY.org is the way to do it. If
30
you want to
seconds, we go
let
back
your
to the
fingers
show,
do
Mayor.
The walking. Yep, and just a couple seconds here. So again, 888-345-9499, WHYY.org, and we thank you.
Supporting WHYY, Lincoln, presenting the new Lincoln MKZ. Quiet Craft Interior, Adaptive HID Headlamps, and Blind Spot Information System are all available on this luxury car. More at Lincoln.com. Lincoln, it's not just luxury, it's smarter than that.
Welcome back to You Bet Your Garden. I'm your host, Mike McGrath, and we're in the stretch now, cats and kittens, in just a little bit. We'll get to the question of the week. How do I keep that nasty white stuff off of my lilacs? Because they're so disease-prone. And it looks like bees are eating my lilacs. What do I do? We'll answer both those questions after a couple more of your fascinating phone calls. At 1-888-346-9499. Jeremy, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good, Jer. How are you today?
I'm doing okay.
And where are you doing okay, sir?
Johnson City, Tennessee.
Oh, okay, down in the Tri-City areas, right?
Yeah.
All right, very good. What can we do for you, Jer?
Well, I had a fascination and things like that with flower gardens and stuff like that, and I actually built one time for my wife and had some pretty good stuff in there. But what I was thinking about, really, my question, is what's the planting season for forsythia bushes? because those, they bloom out really nice and yellow and things like that. And I was going to get one for her, but I'm kind of, you know, confused on the planting season for those.
Well, and well, you're asking the right guy, because I have some really old forsythia in front of my house. They were there when I bought the house. I've had to take one out and move it. And when I moved it, it rooted when I just threw it in the woods back behind the house. So they are really easy plants to plant. What I would suggest is if you have anybody in the neighborhood who's got big, giant forsythias that they might be interested in dividing, you know, making a little bit smaller. It's a bit of a chore, but it can be fun because this is true cowboy gardening. When somebody has plants like mine that are 20, 30 years old,
yeah,
you get a couple of guys together, you dig around the plant with shovels till you can get the root ball out of the ground, and then you're ready?
Yeah.
You get a chainsaw, and you cut the root ball in quarters. And then you replant one of those quarters, and everybody else takes a quarter home, plant it in their garden. It will bloom the following spring. You can also take cuttings next spring from somebody who has a plant. You know, just go around when the new growth appears and just put the cuttings in the ground where you want your forsythia bush to grow, and it will root. If a forsythia branch leans over and touches the ground, it'll root there. It'll layer itself naturally. These plants love to grow and they love to root. But typically people buy the young starter plants in the spring. Typically, you know, when there's some flowers on them in a garden center, put them in the ground, and then they get their big show the following year. One thing to remember with forsythia is they are naturally unruly plants. They love to send out giant spikes. That is their habit. That's what they do. They kind of look like a fireworks explosion. And, and a lot of times we get to the fall and people don't like the look and they'll trim it back and then they won't get any flowers the following spring because all of the blooms on a forsythia are set pretty much immediately after it flowers in the spring.
Well, speaking of that, though, since you brought that up, the pruning of them, like, you know, like you mentioned, cutting them back, when would, you know, if I had to do something like that, which I'm sure I probably will, when would be good to do that without ruining it completely?
So let's say it's springtime, your forsythia's been in the ground for 3 or 4 years, it just put on a fabulous show, now the flowers are fading and they're being replaced by lots of green growth. Now you can start pruning, now you can start trimming the plant back, and you can keep that up for a month safely. The time to prune spring bloomers is always right after they finish blooming. That's the safe part. Because by September, easily by September, maybe mid-July, every flower for the following year already exists on that plant. So it's very winter hardy. Those buds aren't damaged in the least over winter. And they're really difficult plants to kill, Jer. I mean, they are great choices for easy care.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, you know, I've been wanting a couple of those, you know, one or two of them at least, because I know as a kid, my dad had some, like, in a all in a row, like maybe 4 or 5 of them, and it looked, and when they bloomed out, it looked just, you know, great as far as the yellow on them and things like that. And the question was, you know, when do you plant them? And so I think I've got that question answered. You said the spring would be good. So
the spring is when you're going to find them at every garden center. I would go to garden centers right now. If anybody has any leftovers, they'll give them to you real cheap. If you get them right away, no problem at all getting them into the ground. And I can't imagine why they wouldn't bloom for you the first spring.
Yeah. Well, again, Mike, I thank you for answering that question for me, and I've been trying to get it answered for months anyway. And but thank you for your knowledge on this, and I appreciate it a whole lot.
Oh, thank you, Jeremy. It's a favorite plant of mine. They're great choices. You'll have a lot of fun.
All right. I appreciate it, and thank you very much.
All right. Take care, pal.
Uh-huh.
1-888-346-9499. Felix, welcome to You Bet Your Garden.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing good, Felix. How are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you. And I know you'll ask this question. I'm well in Philadelphia, West Philadelphia.
Okay, very good. What can we do for you?
Okay, Mike, not too long ago, I purchased an ornamental pepper plant.
Right.
I took it home, and I'm sorry to say I killed it.
Oh!
I apparently watered it too much or gave it too much sun. I did ask when I purchased it, how should I care for it? And they said, keep the soil moist, which I did. But I think I kept it too moist.
No, and that was bad advice. Were you trying to keep this alive inside, Felix?
Yes.
Pepper plants, I know they sell these, quote, ornamental pepper plants, and they sell them next to the house plants. But that's kind of a cruel fraud, because these plants really are outdoor plants. There's no difference between a, quote, ornamental pepper plant and any other hot pepper. Or even sweet bell peppers. They like to be outside in the summertime, and they can be brought inside by talented hands to survive the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like having a spider plant or a snake plant or a rubber plant or a ficus or one of these other kind of bulletproof house plants. They do need a lot of sun. And the key to watering any plant is to make sure it dries out between waterings.
Okay.
Only that lucky bamboo, which is not really a bamboo, that's the only plant I can think of that wants to, you know, have its roots in water all the time. More plants are killed by overwatering than any other human cause.
Okay. Let me ask you then, you don't recommend, and I heard you just say that these plants, they tend to want to be outside. It's not recommended that you try and get one to thrive in the inside?
If you have a bright, sunny, south-facing window,
okay,
you can probably keep it alive over winter. If
okay.
you want to have a nice indoor area with bright plants in it, go out and buy a simple shop light, a 4 foot long shop light with 4 foot long 40 watt fluorescent tubes. Certainly will cost you under $20 with the tubes. And then you find a place where you can hang that light, preferably in a window, so it'd be getting natural light and the light from the shop light.
Okay.
And then you could put four or five of these things in a row underneath that. Keep the tops of the plants 1 inch away from the bottom of the bulbs, and the plants will not only stay alive, they will thrive. They will flower and fruit for you all winter long.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, Felix?
Okay. I certainly appreciate it. Let me say, I listen to you every week, and I thoroughly enjoy your show.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Bye now.
All right. As you guys know, this is where we generally bring you the question of the week. But, you know, this is a special pledge drive show where we're turning you upside down and trying to get some quarters to bounce out of your pocket. So we're going to do an abbreviated one. And I want you to go read the real one online. Our first two questions are about white stuff appearing on the bark of lilacs. And let me tell you, it's a common problem. It occurs whenever their airflow is restricted. They have to be alone. They can't have other plants growing around them, and they can't be allowed to get too dense like me. When the white stuff shows up, wipe it off with a clean, damp cloth and then increase the airflow around the plant. We'll have all the details online. Then we had two questions about wasps eating the bark on lilac. And for some reason, wasps are really attracted to this. Many wasps and hornets will strip the bark off some trees, but lilacs seem to be their favorites. If this occurs, don't panic. Just wrap the bark with something like sheer cloth, row cover to keep them away, or spray the bark with an organic insect repellent like neem or garlic oil. Try not to kill the wasps or hornets because they are tremendous pest controllers in your garden. Now, like I warned you, that's just a very abbreviated information. If you have a lilac in your landscape, please review the question of the week in print, in full, at the Gardens Alive website. To do so, just click the link at our website, youbetyourgarden.org.
I'm Mary Cummings Jordan, along with Mike McGrath, who is the host of You Bet Your Garden. And the number to call to pledge your support is 888-345-9499. Our goal is 50. We are over half there. We've got 30, which is absolutely tremendous. And a lot of, I'm going to guess that the folks who are calling their support to help us support our mini goal this hour of 50 are people who are into organic gardening. But Mike, you said earlier something along the lines of you don't want it to be like dosing people with cod liver oil. You want to have some fun.
I never said cod liver oil. 1-888-345-9499.
But you get the
send
picture.
Us your cod liver oil when you make your generous pledge of support to WHYY. You know, Mayor, one thing that is what we were talking about is I try to have fun on the show. Organic gardening is a big part of it, but gardening has to be fun. And that's the bottom line. We're cooler than the people who use Miracle-Gro and Roundup. 1-888-345-9499. This is our last pledge break. This is the last chance to show support for my show, which I take very personally. It's very important. You know, we get all these huge numbers of emails and phone calls and attention paid, but it is the support of our local audience here in the Philadelphia and South Jersey and Delaware area that keeps us on the air, that shows WHYY that we're a viable show. It's more important than you know to call up right now at 1-888-345-9499 or click online at WHYY.org. Mayor, why don't you tell them about a little bit more about this kitchen garden box they get for a generous pledge of $120.
Which works out to about $10 a month. It's just chock full of fascinating information. And I'm just going to pull a card right here that talks about, now is it paprika or paprika?
Paprika. What most people don't know is that red powder you pay a fortune for at the spice aisle of the supermarket is actually a dried red bell pepper ground up into powder. So you can make your own paprika very easily. And what we tell you in the different recipe cards in the growing sections of the kitchen garden box is exactly which type of peppers. There is a certain variety of pepper that if you want to sell paprika in Europe, for instance, it has to be from a Hungarian paprika pepper.
And that's on the card?
That's on the card. The variety, how it's, how to find it, what it looks like. It's a strange pepper. But you can also take any sweet red bell pepper, dry it, grind it, make your own paprika. Very impressive to show your friends. If you have a great pepper harvest, give away little jars of your own homemade paprika. Who has ever done that? And that's just one of, like, hundreds of tips of how to grow things and how to use them in the kitchen, and also how to save the seeds when you find the perfect variety for a pledge of $120 at 1-888-345-9499.
And that is the sort of information that you're going to hear on You Bet Your Garden, which airs Saturday mornings here on WHYY, along with not only the unusual and the unique, but the commonplace. For instance, obviously,
you calling me common? No, wait a minute.
Not yet. Anyway, it's fall, and every year we pile a huge pile of leaves in our backyard. And one year, lo and behold, what did I find when I had my 16-year-old go out with the shovel?
Compost happens.
It's black gold.
You can't stop it. All you have to do is not throw away your leaves. That was hard, wasn't it? You know,
that sort of information, from the seemingly benign to the more exotic, you'll find on You Bet Your Garden. But again, it's programming that comes through the airwaves, 90.9 FM, WHYY, with the support of our listeners.
And we hear that support right now. They're calling up 1-888-345-9499. We have this wonderful group of volunteers who's come in this morning. I have to do a shout-out to our own Julia Worski, our new production assistant on the show. She's not paying attention. She didn't hear her name because she's taking a phone call. Why don't you call up? Maybe you'll talk to Julia at 1-888-345-9499 or go online at whyy.org. But if you do that, you won't talk to Julia, will you?
No, but you know what? If you keep, you can keep in mind that either way, whether you go online or whether you call, if you use your credit card, and actually, I guess specifically, Joni, it's probably when you call on telephone. You know, if you want, if you
use
remember
your credit
to ask
card
for Newsweek,
and ask for it for Newsweek, is that what you're getting at here, Mary?
Ask for Newsweek, you will get a year subscription as part of our thank you here for pledging your support to WHYY.
And you also get the WHYY member card, which sometimes we don't talk enough about. But when you become a member, you have so much access to our community. You have discounts at area businesses and restaurants. You will also get invited to special events at WHYY. But most importantly, you would have some skin in the game. You are helping pay for my show, for the other wonderful programming, for Prairie Home Companion, for This American Life, for Fresh Air. Shows that you're not going to hear on commercial radio, and shows that are only made possible by listeners like you who've called up 1-888-345-9499 or who've joined us online at WHYY.org.
And I did want to clear up one thing. Joni, our producer, did tell me that, yes, you can ask for Newsweek via the web as well as a telephone call. Hey, Mike, we're one away from our goal here, so folks, let's for the
goal.
Our
I want to double our goal.
Well,
I want to show them that this is the most beloved show on WHYY, at least between 11 and 12 every Saturday morning.
And how do you do that?
1-888-345-9499 or WHYY.org. This is something we hosts never get jaded about. After every pledge drive, I don't care if it's me or Terry Gross or Marty Moss, Wayne, how'd we do? How many pledges did we get? How'd the show do during pledge drive? Because that is real viable support. It's not vile support at all. How dare you say such a thing, Mayor?
Well, hey, we're on a roll here, so let's keep it going. We've reached our mini goal. We're pushing forward. It has been a tremendous hour. 888-345-9499.
I want to blow this goal down North 6th Street. Come on, let's break it open. Let's see what we can really do and show your support. Listeners, it's time to become members, to become part of the WHYY community, and I want you to do it during my show because it makes me look good. 1-888-345-9499 or WHYY.org. We have Fit coming up, a wonderful programming about food and health with Larry Roebling and Therese. Splendid Table follows. But you know what? I'm on the air now, and this is when I want your pledge. 1-888-345-9499.